do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hate. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. Five topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. We got Andrew Schleck producing. Coming up on the show, Jimmy Effin Butler. For Kawhiing Out Loud, a Greek philosopher, Jokic versus Durant. And who do you believe in more? Subscribe to the YouTube channel by searching The Athletic NBA Show. Or if you're watching one of our videos, just go click the user account. Hit subscribe. Tell your friends. Everybody loves it. Don't forget to subscribe to The Bounce, a free NBA newsletter from The Athletic by yours truly. Sign up at theathletic.com/bounce. Today, April 27th. That's National Gummy Bear Day. Jay, what's the best gummy bear?
The Haribo gummy bears are fire. Mm-hmm. I used to go to Costco, get the big old tub of them, and they'd all be gone by morning.
Will, I once was unfortunately on the, what is it, the City Walk? What's the River Walk in San Antonio? That River Walk, and I got pulled into a bar. And I was forced to have a shot that tasted like a gummy bear. Is one of the worst things I've ever had. Because I like gummy bears, but this ruined the experience for me.
They forced me to.
I had no choice. Will's in New Orleans. He knows how that goes. You know, some places you just get forced into a shot.
It happens. Yeah, San Antonio. San Antonio.
A lot of alcoholic beverages that I didn't want to drink during my time. This is factual information.
Jay, what else are you going to do in San Antonio? You got to. All right, in this corner, let's get to our two contestants. In this corner, he covers the Celtics. He reps Dylan Brooks still, and he awaits the arrival of Cooper Flagg. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, you have a pregame routine before playoff games.
Take a long nap, and I just need a nap. That's it. And then I do some jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks?
No, I do not fucking do jumping jacks. Definitely don't do jumping jacks. Just a nap.
And in this corner, he covers the Pelicans on the court. He covers Zion's whereabouts off the court. And now he is our stand-in Heat reporter. It's Will Guillory. Will, what's your favorite part of covering the Heat?
Man, I thought I was going to be in Miami for a weekend just for games 3 and 4. But now I guess I'm going to be there until June. So, you know, yeah. I guess I'm going to get my mail sent to Miami now. I got to get me some flower shirts.
Yeah,
I got to get used to like wearing my shirts with like 3 buttons unbuttoned.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I got to get some chains. The whole vibe
you got to get
a
gold chain working in there. Yeah, absolutely. Boat shoes constantly.
Give me a pinky ring.
Mm-hmm. Got to have a pinky ring. That's right. Yeah. Jay. How's Atlanta?
I'm back for the second time. Could have been in Miami.
Yeah.
maybe I might backdoor a trip to Miami now, though. So yeah. things might be looking
up. In a couple of weeks, you'll be there.
We might link up. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. All right. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. You know where I'm going first. It's Jimmy fucking Butler. The Miami Heat defeated the Bucks in five games last night in Milwaukee. Jimmy, incredible heroics, including a below the rim alley-oop finish that sent Pat Connaughton flying and sent the Bucks into a tailspin in overtime. Butler averaged 37 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists in the series, shooting nearly 60% from the field and 44% from 3, even though he's just taking some bad 3-point shots. The Heat shot a playoff best 51.9% from the field and 45% from 3 in the series against the Bucks. The Knicks, who dismantled the Cavs in 5 games, are their second round opponent with game 1 on Sunday at MSG. Jay, does this magical ride for the Heat and Jimmy Butler continue?
I see, this is where I'm going to get in trouble.
Oh, here we go.
This is where I'm going to get in trouble.
It's known Heat doubter, Jay King. I've tried to tell you about Heat culture. I've tried to tell you about Jimmy Butler. I tried to tell you about all these guys, and look at you, still doubting.
I absolutely do not believe in this Heat team still. Mm-hmm. Jimmy was spectacular, though, and they shot the ball really well. The Knicks are gonna smack these dudes. It's not gonna be easy, but the Knicks are gonna beat them. I just don't know what the Bucks were doing. Mike Budenholzer had one of the most brain dead coaching performances you will ever see. This man went, it was a tie game with 0.5 seconds left, and he didn't call a fucking timeout. Mm-hmm. How do you not call a fucking timeout mm-hmm. with 0.5 seconds left to advance the ball? At least give yourself a chance. You probably don't even fucking make it, but at least give yourself a fucking chance.
What do you mean? You have Giannis. Throw it to the sky.
Or how about this? Jimmy Butler just scored on a lob play. It literally just happened. It just happened.
Your guy is 5 inches taller.
What are you doing? You are there simply to have one job, and that is to know if they score and tie this up, I need to take a fucking timeout. That is all you have to do at that point in the game. He didn't do it. Mm. But my issues with him went far beyond that. Like, if you watch the final 4 minutes of the game, it's just Bam dribbling it up top while Jimmy comes off screens. And every fucking time he got wide fucking open at the rim. And he said later on the lob play that he told Spoelstra, I know they're going to stay attached to my body. And if I come off a screen, I'm going to be able to get separation. And you mm-hmm. know why he knew that? Because they never fucking changed the coverage.
They never changed
because they did it the whole fucking time. And so every time he came off a fucking screen, he was wide open at the fucking rim. And they knew it. And they knew it. And Budenholzer changed nothing. He didn't switch. He didn't fucking do anything. He didn't have them just shoot the gap, force Jimmy to make jumpers, which is what everybody fucking does against Jimmy Butler. I am so mad at Mike Budenholzer. He will probably lose his job over this, and he deserves to. And the Knicks are going to beat the Heat. But Jimmy was amazing, too.
Make sure we smack that explicit tag on this one. Yeah,
I love
Will.
Jay going for the F-bomb record. Let's do it. Let's do it. Will, but no, I literally have a list here of Bud fuck ups. Let me jump in the F-bomb party. He didn't put Giannis on Jimmy at any point in the late in this game. It was just Drew the whole way. Giannis says after the game, I wish he put me on Jimmy.
Oh, Giannis threw him way under the bus, man.
He didn't call a timeout with 0.5 left. How about this? Where Grayson Allen is dribbling the clock out. The Bucks had two timeouts left. Bud watches the clock get run out. They didn't double Jimmy at any point. They didn't.
That was a crazy
right before Jimmy's lob play with 18 seconds left. Heater down two. Jimmy, they call a timeout. Jimmy comes right off a pick and roll, dribbles into a wide open three-pointer. You know why? Because they're playing that same damn drop defense that they play all season, every possession. Jimmy Butler got fire shooting out of his ears, and mm-hmm. you let him dribble into a wide open jumper.
Walking into that man.
You're lucky enough that he missed that one, and then Jimmy still ends up beating you in the end. I mean, you see, we could talk about this as well. Jimmy Butler just took Drew's soul at the end of this game. I've never seen anybody just completely punk Drew the way he did. Was talking to him so crazy at the end of this game.
They were down six with two and a half minutes left. I own you.
He was talking right to Drew's face. And
at that point, he knew he was
going to
take
home.
Their soul.
So why didn't Bud see this while he's standing on the sidelines that Drew's soul is getting taken? Why don't you put the big 6'11 former defensive player of the year on a dude that dropped mm-hmm. 56 on you last game mm-hmm. and he's in the process of dropping 40 on you tonight and ending your season? I mean, this was an all-time. And by the way, the last possession, these were the five guys Miami had on the court. Jimmy Butler, Max Strus, Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, Haywood Highsmith. These were the five people they had, and they needed to stop at the end of the game. Bud doesn't call a timeout. They don't get a shot off. It's incredible.
Nobody wanted it, man. That's the thing that was crazy to me is, like, Giannis gives it up. Middleton, he could pull up into that mid-range jumper that he's so good at. He didn't want it. He throws to Grayson Allen. He pump fakes. He didn't want it. Euro steps his way right into the offseason.
He was wide open to shoot, too. Yeah. Like, he had an open mid-range. And that's what, honestly, I blame Bud for a lot of what happened in that series. I actually liked the idea of just letting them play in that moment. And honestly, if you get a Grayson Allen wide open mid-range jumper, which they should have gotten, that's a fine outcome instead of going against a half-court set defense.
You got to get a shot, though.
But
you
got to get a shot. Everything else was fucking crazy. The whole series was just, they let Jimmy get comfortable, and then they just did nothing to stop. They never tried to stop.
This?
He was
you
scoring 50.
Team?
He was scoring 56. He had fucking 40. They never fucking did anything to take away his comfort. It was crazy. And Jimmy was amazing. We like Jimmy was fucking amazing. And not just amazing in the shots he was hitting and the plays he was making, but like
everything.
Just the competitiveness. He took a team that probably had no belief in itself by the end of the season.
They lost to like, the Hawks.
Duncan Robinson hasn't played in years.
They were about
years.
To lose to the Bulls.
Kevin Love was bought out fucking midway through the season. Cody Zeller, I didn't even know he was still fucking alive. And these dudes are out here and just beat the number one seed 58-win Milwaukee Bucks.
And then they
because
lose
Jimmy
Tyler Hero
fucking
in game
Butler
one.
Willed him to do it.
They lose Oladipo in game three. So now you're down two guards. Again, you're playing Haywood Highsmith in the biggest possession of your season. And by the way, we could say that they got a decent look on the last possession. How about if you're Bud, you're seeing your team choking their brains away in that overtime. Giannis fouls a three-point shooter. They're giving up all these easy looks to Jimmy Butler. How about calling a timeout and calming your team down? How about gathering? How about... Hey, at the end of the game,
save those to,
let's get a
save
shot for
save those.
One of our three all-stars are on the court. How about we get one of those guys a shot instead of Grayson Allen with our season on the line? I mean, it was unbelievable how bad they choked that game away, but also how Bud just stood there and watched while it was happening. It was incredible.
Jimmy could fucking smell that they were punking out.
Oh, he knew
he
it.
Could fucking
he
smell
it.
It.
Yeah.
He smelled it.
He could just smell. I almost said a really bad one. But he could...
Hey, let's move on to take two, guys.
We're fired up to start this show. I like it.
You know what? Take two for fucking Kawhi and Out Loud. I got to join in too. On Wednesday, our own Shams Charania reported that Kawhi Leonard has a torn meniscus in his right knee, the same knee that he had ACL surgery on that kept him out of the 2021-2022 season. Imagine that. Kawhi was hurt. The Clippers are headed home after losing in five games to the Suns, a series in which Kawhi only played two games and Paul George played zero. All of this begs the question, where do the Clippers go from here? Franchise certainly wants to have a good team when they move into their new arena, but is running it back the best way to ensure that? Will, if you were the Clippers, you're Lawrence Frank, what do you do with this roster?
I mean, I don't think you have a choice but to keep Kawhi and Paul George. I still stand firm in you winning this league with superstars. And when those guys are healthy, they play at a superstar level, specifically Kawhi Leonard. I mean, we saw it this year against Kevin Durant. He was pretty much outplaying KD in those first two games, you know, on both ends of the court. Unfortunately, he ends up getting hurt. And then I'll be the, you know, 1 millionth person to bring this up. But they're opening a new arena in a couple years. And you're not going to open that thing with posters of Terrence Mann and like
Zubats
on the outside. You need some notable faces on the outside of that brand new arena. So Paul George and Kawhi are going to be in LA. Now we'll see, because they're going to be potentially free agents after next year. So maybe they decide to dip before the new arena gets opened up. But I think you got to try to keep this thing together. I would say, though, that at what point I'm not even going to put this on the Clippers, because you can tell by the end of the season how just exasperated with the whole situation Ty Lue was. But at what point does Kawhi Leonard look in the mirror and say, all right, I got to stop doing this secretive thing. I got to stop being uncommunicative with the front office and with the team, where it's just like a big secret about whatever's going on with Kawhi every single time. We have no idea if he's showing up, if he's not showing up. At what point does that just get old for everybody, just because it was cool when you were the guy carrying Toronto to a championship and you were moving that way? But when you're the dude who can't show up at the end of the season multiple years in a row, you got to have some level of accountability at just the way you're moving. And right now, it just doesn't seem that like that exists for Kawhi.
They also need to figure out their point guard situation, because
they got Russ.
Yeah, problem solved.
Sure,
yeah.
But Russ may want to leave for more money.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they don't have his bird rights. Mm-mm. And quite frankly, I don't trust that Russ would be a good fit in that situation when they have everybody available. Like, he was allowed to cook in the playoffs in a different role than he would play if they had everyone there and if they had the team that would actually have a chance to compete in the playoffs. They're snake bitten. I don't trust that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard will ever be healthy together at the same time throughout a playoffs. But I would love to see that team with like just a point guard to organize things. Like, I'm not saying
they had John Wall.
I'm not saying Mike Conley will be available to them, but a Mike Conley type, someone to just run the offense, be mature out there, be poised, like just bring everything together, because that team misses that a lot. They have a lot of wings, a lot of big, yeah, sure.
Go get Reggie Jackson again.
As I said, John Wall. Yeah. But like, I would also like some youth, some athleticism. Marcus Morris is getting older.
He's got to go, man. Like
Nick Batum getting older.
Nick Batum's still good though.
Nick Batum is still good, but like,
Covington's a corpse.
It's probably time for some dudes that are lesser names, but are trying to make their name. Mm-hmm. And more playing time for Terrence Mann. Terrence Mann is really good.
Yeah, he's a nice find, and he keeps getting hurt on minutes to play other dudes. Like I think, you know, I get the idea of bringing in veterans. You know, you had Marcus Morris already, you had Nick Batum, you bring in Eric Gordon. Like I get that idea, but at a certain point you need that energy, right? You need that adrenaline that someone like Terrence Mann can inject into it. And I think you run it back next year, because I think you have to. But Will, after that, you know, you can only be paper champs for so long before you got to do it on the court.
Yeah, and again, these guys have 1 year left on their deals before they have a player option, which they'll probably opt out.
Yeah.
And then you're staring down maybe another max deal for these guys.
They're going to say, what, you're going to go open the new arena with Zubats? No, exactly. You're going to open it with us. Give us the max deal.
You're going to have to dig yourself a deeper hole with this duo, hope it works out. Like I said, T. Lou looks like he's already tired of it.
Yeah, so I feel bad.
Who knows
for him,
how
man.
Long he's going to stick around with this situation. Yeah, you're nearing the point where you're done giving up picks to OKC, but I'm sure they're going to sell more picks to try to fill out the rest of this roster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're in a bad spot, and I don't know what you really can do to fix it other than just hope for the best, man, and just say, hey, Kawhi, we'll talk to you in 4 months, hopefully, and see if you're healthy or not.
Yeah. Yeah, the best strategy being hope for the best is never usually that good for success.
Talk to you at some point.
We'll hopefully talk to our star player in 4 months. All right, let's take a quick break, fellas. We come back, we are talking Greek philosophy.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
And we're back. Take three, philosopher Antetokounmpo. After a devastating overtime loss to the Heat, the Athletics' Eric Name asking Giannis, do you consider this season a failure? Giannis gave the quote of the playoffs so far. Schleck, play the tape.
I just asked Bud the exact same question, but I'm curious for you. Do you view this season as a failure?
Oh, my God. Okay, because I'm not that up. You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay, do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, I don't know, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success, you know? And if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So, there's always steps to it. You know, Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championships. The other 9 years was a failure? That's what you're telling me? No, I'm asking you a question. Yes or no?
No, I mean, I don't think so.
Okay, exactly. So why are you asking me that question? It's a wrong question. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful. Some days you're not. Some days it's your turn, some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports is about. You don't always win. Some other people's going to win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, try to play better, not have a 10-day stretch with playing bad basketball. You know, and hopefully we can win a championship. So 50 years from 1971 to 2021 that we didn't win a championship, it was 50 years of failures? No, it was not. It was steps to it, you know, and we were able to win one. Hopefully we can win another one. You know, sorry that I didn't want to make it personal because you asked me the same question last year, and last year I was in the right mind space to answer the question back.
All right, so I think maybe his answer is kind of like you failed. You failed. Maybe you're not failures, but you failed. But I like the way he answered it. I like the way he respected Eric. I like the way that he tried to compose himself in a very frustrating time. Jay, what are your thoughts on Giannis's mindset after losing to the play-in 8-seed Heat?
Well, it was so funny because he was furious. Like, absolutely,
he was so mad. He was so mad at the question.
He was enraged. And he still provided more perspective than just about anybody would at like a full moment of calm and serenity. I think he knows it is a failure. I think he knows they screwed up. They should not have lost to the Heat in the manner that they did. He knows it's a massive disappointment, but it also gave a window into what makes him so great. Mm-hmm. And that's that he missed a million free throws in that game five, which was a big part of the reason why they ended up losing the game. He did not want the ball with a few seconds left when they had the jump ball. Like it was hot potato. He almost threw the damn ball out of bounds because he did not want to shoot free throws. But part of the window into it is like, he won't let that stick with it. To him, it's all a part of the process, and he just keeps plugging away and plugging away. And so, like, yes, everyone else can consider it the biggest defeat ever, and he probably does too to some extent, but it's kind of like Jay-Z said, like, you can't give him a loss because he turns those into wins. Lessons, damn, baby.
I'm really upset I wasn't the one to quote Jay-Z first on this podcast.
I didn't even quote him. I just paraphrased him.
Yeah, you paraphrased. Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
It's a lesson. That's what Hov said.
Yeah, I can give him a loss. You just lost. Yeah, you just got your ass kicked by the Heat.
You got three in a row L's.
Yeah.
I kind of feel split on this one because I'm a big anti-rings culture type of dude. I hate that we judge these guys purely off of if they win a championship or not, because only one team wins it at the end of the day, and there's so much stuff that goes into winning a championship. But I mean, there's no question, if you're the Bucks, the one seed, losing to the 8-seed that doesn't have their second leading scorer, and you lose three games in a row with Jimmy Butler torching you the way he did, there's no doubt it's a failure. They failed. There's no question about it. But I also respect Giannis for having a perspective to say, we can't sit here and beat ourselves up over this loss. It's a part of our journey. We got to learn from this and use this as a stepping stone to get to our next step in our journey. And I respect that perspective. And I think it's important for all stars to kind of have that perspective to say, okay, when you lose this, you got to find a way to use this, you know, in a way to prepare yourself for the next time. And I think you've seen Giannis that throughout his career, that he's dealt with his failures and come back better. We talked about the free throws. He was terrible in this game, but for the most part, he's been much better with his free throws this year because of his past failures at the free throw line. And we can add his jumper onto that, and we can add his inability to beat the Heat in the past. He's done better with that recently. So I think, you know, he's learned from all of this. I think he did a really good job giving perspective when a lot of guys were just snapped at Eric and just told him to shut up and go sit down, or bust a LeBron and say, hey, I'm gonna be me tomorrow and you're gonna be Eric meme.
You still gonna be broke.
But that was it's so funny because that was he was on the verge, man. He was on that was that was Giannis's version of that. And it's so funny because, like, at his worst, he just gave valuable life perspective, whereas LeBron was like, Yeah, you guys are just peasants.
You just broke boys. Like, you're not a billionaire like
bunch
me.
Bunch of broke get boys me. Asking questions, get holding up recorders.
I'm going to go to my yacht. That's what I'm going to do. yeah, but one thing to clear up for Giannis. Every year Michael Jordan didn't win a championship, he absolutely considered it a failure. Absolutely.
And I think it's okay for Giannis to be like, I don't need to think like Michael Jordan.
I saw his quotes from after his losses. He was kind of like, yeah, you know, this wasn't our year. I would have loved to win it, but we'll come back next year and try again.
He's good at marketing. Yeah, he's good at marketing. He was also a complete asshole that he hid from people for like 20 years.
So, look, man, I'm playing 18.
He also normally won.
he usually
wins.
All right, coming up after the break, we get ready for Durant versus Jokic.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Take four. Who has more to prove? The Nuggets versus the Suns series begins on Saturday in Denver, and it is poised to be a doozy. Jokic versus Durant, Booker versus Murray. Both teams won their first round series in 5 games. Both have star power, and both have a lot to prove. According to BetMGM, the Suns are favored in the series despite not having home court advantage. So, Will, who do you have winning this series, and which team has more to prove, the Nuggets or the Suns?
I still stand firm in what I said to start the playoffs, that as long as Book and KD are healthy, I find it hard to believe anybody in the West is going to beat them just because those dudes have so much firepower. And you see what Book has done, you know, through that first round, just playing at an unbelievable level, just destroying people. And, you know, KD hasn't even locked in all the way yet. So, yeah, I'm picking them to win. And I think the Nuggets are the team that have the most to prove because everything that we talked about before with Jokic and how so much is on him to finally prove he can get out of the second round in a non-bubble environment, I should say. But and also just they've got years of experience with this group, right? Jamal Murray's been around. MPJ's been around. Michael Malone's been around. For them to lose to a team with the Suns who have been together for like 2 weeks, it would be a really, really bad look for all of them. And I think they would have to answer some hard questions in the offseason about, okay, how do we get to a point where we can actually be better than the Suns or the Lakers or, you know, some of these other teams in the West? Because I think at this point, we would probably put them at 3, maybe 4 in the West right now. And with the amount of money they've invested in that team and the years they've invested in that team, they shouldn't be at that point. And I think they got to prove that they can be above that. And if not, you got to probably make some big chases in the offseason.
Jay, who do you have in the series and who has more to prove?
This is such a tough series to pick. It's such a
tough
series.
Dude, you coward. Will had that pick off the
rip. I'm going Denver.
Wow.
Watching Phoenix in the first round, yes, they are ridiculously talented. Yes, Booker's life.
Four of them are.
four of them are, correct. Three and sometimes. But
and one of those three is actually kind of washed, so it's really just the two.
They just three have so much
for my spade players out there.
They just have so much that they haven't learned yet, and I don't trust any of their role players. Not a single one of them. Like not a single one. And as as much as Jokic is going to be a target on every single possession for them, Denver is really good at providing help, and they know how to back him up with the rest of their defenders, and they'll have a lot of guys that they're willing to help off of. And I think at the end of the day, that will really matter. And then the continuity. Those guys just know how to play together. That offense, like Jokic and Murray have been doing the dribble handoffs and the two-man game for years, and they've done it in the playoffs. They've done it in big moments. They've done it in big series. Michael Porter Jr. has, like, I love his offensive game. He's just a ridiculous shooter for his size. I think that offense is pretty close to – like, that's just an elite offense. I don't think Phoenix is going to be able to handle it. I don't think they've had enough time together to be able to handle it. I think Denver, it's going to be a long series. It's going to be a tough series, but I think Denver prevails.
My fear for Denver.
And I think
Denver,
in this series, I think the two guys maybe who low-key have a lot of pressure on them going in are Michael Malone and MPJ. Because if you're going to find a way to really upgrade what they got going on right now, I think those are the two spots you're probably looking at, right? Probably a new coach, probably a better third best player. So if either one of those guys, let's just hope Mike Malone doesn't have a bud situation, because he's going to be out of there ASAP. And MPJ, I mean, he's had some good moments in the playoffs, but he hasn't really had his signature big series, I'm showing up against the other stars. Mm-hmm. And if he's able to do that, I think they got a really good shot of beating Phoenix.
My fear for Denver is playing Minnesota doesn't prepare you for anything playoff wise.
You don't think playing Rudy prepares you for Kevin Durant?
I mean, I know KD, I know Rudy used to play the three back when he was 15 years old. So we saw that, but no, like I think you saw this with Memphis. Like last year, right? Is Memphis was not prepared for that next round at all.
Yeah, when you play Minnesota, you just stand in the lane and wait for Cat to foul you, and then you're good.
Because he will foul you.
Memphis also just played the dumbest basketball possible in the first round too,
for
last
sure
year against Minnesota.
Yes, for sure. But I just think that, yeah, that's my fear for Denver, at least early in that series, is there will be a bit of a shell shock going from Minnesota to going to playing against that Suns team. All right, let's go to the last subject. Take five. Who do you believe in more? The Grizz avoided elimination last night with a huge third quarter run, ending the quarter on a 19-2 run. Grizzlies cruised to a victory that kept their hopes for the second round alive with their star guards Ja Morant and Desmond Bain. J. King leading the way with 31-10-7 for Ja, 33-10-5 for Bain. Lakers lead the series 3-2 as the series heads back to LA. Also, the Kings look like they're in the driver's seat up 2-0, now find themselves in a 3-2 hole against the defending champion Warriors. Warriors leaned heavily on their vets, with players like Kuminga and Moody seeing their playing time vanish. It's almost as if playoff experience matters. Jay, you got to pick one. The Grizz or the team you abandoned, the Kings, who has a better chance to win their series down 3-2?
Memphis has a better chance. Absolutely has a better chance. They almost won game four on the road. They probably should have won game four on the road. They seem to be figuring out some things deeper into the series. It feels like they realize they can attack the Lakers guards off the dribble and get a lot off that. They're just better than the Kings too, especially defensively. And I trust the Warriors far more than I trust this current Lakers team, even though it's LeBron, even though it's Anthony Davis. Like, the Warriors have been there. They've done this. Once they figure out a series, they tend to just win that series and just end it.
Yeah.
Except for that one time when they blew the 3-1 lead in the finals.
Except the time they blew the historic 3-1 lead.
But once they figure out a series, it's like, it's just science for them. Like, they just figure it out. They just lean on you the rest of the way. They do what Jimmy Butler does and just kind of take your soul. So, yeah, it's definitely Memphis.
Will, what about for you?
But they're not going to win either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree with Jay. I got the Grizzlies as well, and that's what I was going to say. The same way Jimmy took Drew's soul last night, I think the Warriors took the King's soul last night and just beating them in that game. It was really just hitting shot after shot down the stretch. Just crazy, just Warrior stuff where they just is like, oh, my God, what are we supposed to do here? I mean, Draymond Green had 20-10 on them.
The one leg fade.
Oh my god, that one.
Oh my god, it's just when they find kind of figure you out in the playoffs. You just kind of sit back and say, oh my God, what are we supposed to do here? With this team has done it so many times. They always find a way to win. And I think the Grizz, I really still believe the Grizz think if we play our best basketball, we're better than the Lakers. And I think they felt that way after game five. And I think they're starting to figure some stuff out just with the pace they're playing at, Bane and Ja Morant, getting those early buckets, you know, really putting the pressure on those Lakers guards. And I think it's going to be extremely important for the Lakers to get that win in game six. Because if you got to go back to Memphis for game seven, it's going to be up in the air. And, you know, the Warriors, I think they feel confident even if they do slip up in six, they can go on the road and win a game seven. I'm not sure the Lakers, with so many new people on that roster, are going to feel as comfortable in that environment as the Warriors would. So, yeah, I think it's definitely the Grizz. And I think I feel pretty good about the Grizz pushing this to seven. I really like what I saw from them in game five. Ja's looking much better. And I think more importantly, Bane. If Bane plays at a high level, then that takes the Grizz up a notch. And I think they're probably even with the Lakers if those two guys are playing well.
That's the thing is it feels like the Grizzlies figured out, oh, let's just run these old guys.
Yep.
Like let's push it. But you have to, Jay, you have to find a balance between not making it chaotic for yourself, right? Like it has to be organized in the way they push that ball. And look, I know LeBron just had a 20-20 game in game four. He doesn't look great right now. He's not moving all that well. And I think if you're the Grizzlies, you have to smell that blood in the water and you have to go after it because that pushing him physically right now might be the move.
And you could tell that he knows he's not right, that the Lakers know he's not right, just by how much offense they're running through D'Angelo Russell, through Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
Like LeBron has never been a bystander on the side of the court as much as he has in this series. Yeah. And obviously that's probably due to some of his age, certainly some of his physical status. But he made incredible plays to win game four.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that.
And who knows? Game six, he may come out and just look like LeBron again. You never know. But
right, yeah, very
you
possible.
Never know. But it's – I would be pretty confident if I were the Grizzlies, considering I'm down 3-2.
Jay really wants to pick the Grizzlies. You could tell.
I low-key no, I know.
He really wants to pick the Grizzlies. Too. Yeah, you do. No, yes, you do. No. I know that look.
I don't trust them at all.
Look, I don't trust them either, but I know you want to pick them.
Listen,
you
want to pick them. I'll go ahead and say his name. The one reason I don't want to, Mr. 3-for-15 himself, Dylan Brooks, going to L.A., and you know that crowd's going to be on him, and I know he's not going to stop himself from jacking up shots. It's hard for me to feel fully confident in that dude not shooting the Grizz out of that game. That's the number one thing holding me back. But I really do believe when Bane and Ja are playing well and they're pushing a pace, they're very, very capable of wearing LeBron down and forcing everybody else to beat them. And the Lakers just can't match them score for score when Bane and Ja are feeling it.
Yeah, they got to slow the pace way down. Got to slow it way down. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and The Bun and Cardigan Show. For Jay King, for Will Guillory, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.
Don't sleep at work like Bud, people.